are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, November the 4th, and happy election day. Go vote. I'm sure that there's something to vote on where you live. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today, we're going to run down Monday's loss in the nation's capital, another ugly game for the Pistons in Washington, D.C. I've got three takeaways from this one, and we're also going to go to the fans, a little Twitter crowdsourcing from you guys. I'm a little bit, I'm just confused about where we stand on Bruce Brown. Obviously, a tough start to the season for him, and then on Saturday had such a great game. We can all agree on that, and today was obviously somewhere in between. So I want to kind of take the temperature of you guys and ask, how do you think he did, and respond to me there. Got some decent responses that I'm going to react to at the end of the show. But give me a follow on Twitter so you can participate in stuff like this. Sometimes I just throw the crowdsource out there, make you guys do my work for me. Give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons lose 115-99, dropping to 3-5 on the season, outside of the Eastern Conference playoffs by just a half game. And just peeking at the standings, we don't go through the standings very often, so I want to kind of chat about them real quick. It's funny to me because it's like already in place of where you expect the teams to be in terms of the tiers. You've got a game that separates the top five from everyone else. The kind of consensus top five right now, I'm not sure if I'm quite a Miami Heat believer like everyone kind of nationally is right now. I'm still not willing to say that they're a guaranteed playoff team, but certainly a 5-1 start. Taking notice on everyone right now, no reason for me to believe that they are not that team. I did see them play on TV the other night against the Hawks, and they looked pretty good. But yeah, you got Philly, Miami, Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto, the top five teams. I know I kind of slandered Toronto before the season started, saying they were more of a bottom-tier playoff team. But like I said, that's proving to be pretty unfounded already so far this season. So we might have to move up Miami and Toronto into that top tier and say it's a top five in the Eastern Conference than everyone else. And like I said, from there on, I mean, you got the dregs at the bottom, the Washington, Cleveland, Chicago, New York Knicks. What some might have argued that the Chicago Bulls will end up getting out of that very bottom and more into the middle. But I mean, you got, other than Charlotte, I guess Charlotte's kind of the one team at 3-3, nothing to write home about, but 3-3, 500, kind of surpassing expectations and higher in the standings than maybe we project to be later on. But like I said, Charlotte at 6, tied with Indiana. You got Brooklyn, Atlanta, Detroit, Orlando. I mean, it couldn't be more perfect that 7, 6, 8 games into the season for Detroit, because, of course, we got to play 8 games before anyone else in the entire league does. The standings are already kind of what you would figure. So I just thought that was kind of interesting that a week or so, 2 weeks into the season, we're already where we figured we might be. But the Pistons, like I said, 115-99 is the loss to the Washington Wizards. Fall down big early, come back and tie it up in the second quarter, go down 2 at halftime, and then lose it all in an ugly, ugly third quarter before the Wizards cruise to victory in the fourth behind 22 points from Bradley Beal, who was unexceptional. Actually got a lot more help from his supporting cast than you might assume or expect. There was 5 other players in double figures, including Mo Wagner, and Ish Smith had 6 points and 5 assists in his revenge game against the Detroit Pistons, his former team. For the Pistons, 24 points from Luke Kennard, who started off red hot, played really well in the first quarter when the rest of the team was not, and really kind of struggled and was had some turnovers, 5 turnovers leading the Pistons. 5 assists, 4 rebounds, a lot more ball handling responsibilities for Kennard. Obviously, as once again, Blake Griffin's out, Derrick Rose is out, Tim Frazier's out, Reggie Jackson's out, the 3-point guards are out, so a lot of Bruce Brown at point guard. He played 37 minutes tonight. Unbelievable amount of stress that they're putting on him, throwing him into the fire. I mean, I was a big Bruce Brown point guard advocate, but even I wouldn't have said 40 minutes a point guard, 37 minutes a point guard. Obviously, it's tough for any young player to handle. And you know me, I'm going to be defending Bruce Brown. But Andre Drummond, you know, a largely unspectacular game from him there. 15 points, 24 rebounds, 6 of 20 from the field. Not what you want to see there. 4 assists, 4 turnovers. Again, another guy who's kind of upping his usage, upping his hub, becoming the hub of the offense. So the turnovers are naturally going to be up there. But I thought he kind of took the first quarter off, and that was a problem for the team as they dug a hole. And to his credit, his defense was a largely one of the reasons that they were able to get sparked and get going in the second quarter. I thought he was very, very good in the second quarter. And then, like the rest of the team, it looked like kind of a tired leg situation in the third quarter. For some of them, third game in 4 nights for the second time this season, 3-4 for the second time this season. Unbelievable scheduling. Tony Snell hit a couple shots early, but he was largely ineffective, kind of the bad version of Tony Snell where you forget he's on the team despite the fact that he plays 34 minutes. And a minus 28 for Luke Kennard. So, again, led the team in scoring with 24, but I don't think he had a very good game. And he said as much in the post game as well. So Pistons, again, 3-5 on the season. They are home on Wednesday to take on the New York Knicks at Indiana on Friday. And after that, they got their first 2-day stretch of no games this weekend. Of course, that's followed up with a back-to-back as they're going to host Minnesota and Karl Anthony Towns on Monday before the back-to-back on Tuesday night the following night in South Beach to take on the Miami Heat. But Manscaped, it's the number one men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Good stuff there. An ugly one that we might want to forget, but I do have 3 things that I'm going to take away from this game against the Washington Wizards. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
Right, a little bit later on, I'm going to go to the Twitter box to see what you guys thought about Bruce Brown. I'm confused about where we stand as a fan base with Bruce Brown. I know my thoughts, and you probably know them already, but we're going to find out what you guys think on a kind of an up-and-down, uneven Bruce Brown night, and what you thought. Is he horrible? Is he great? Is he the next coming of Isaiah Thomas at point guard? Or is he trash that should be playing in the G League? We'll find out from the always measured and, of course, even-keeled Twitter machine. But we got the 3 takeaways from tonight's game against the Washington Wizards. The Pistons lose one, and they fall to 3-5. If Blake Griffin comes back, which, by the way, Shams of The Athletic reports that Blake Griffin will be looked at again on Wednesday, which, you know, means he could play on Wednesday night at home against the New York Knicks. And that would be great to see for the Pistons, obviously, there. So, you know, there's a chance that he could be coming back on Wednesday night. So some good news there. But the honorable mention for the 3 takeaways is Christian Wood. He got short shrift. I didn't mention him in the first segment, so we'll talk about him now. 15 points, 5 assists, and the big dunk before he gets the taunting technical foul after he bumped Bradley Beal, I believe. And Thomas Bryant was just going on and on all game long and screaming like he was scoring his first basket in the NBA. But obviously a little bit weird to see that take place. And then to see Christian Wood get a technical because he bumped a guy as he was celebrating with his bench after a dunk. But anyway, great dunk, great highlight. Good to see the Pistons on the right side of those every now and then. But the first takeaway is, man, we hate visiting Washington. Washington, D.C. has not been good to the Detroit Pistons. I don't know if I saw it mentioned on the broadcast. Maybe it was in the pre- or post-game as I was kind of lazily watching, not really paying super close attention while I was sitting here in the luxurious digs in downtown Detroit. But 9 straight losses for the Detroit Pistons in Washington. Last year was the Martin Luther King Day game. And then this year, once again, the return visit will be on Martin Luther King Day. Would be nice to end that streak at 9 for the Pistons. And not just going to Washington losing, but laying some serious eggs there. Last year, they lost the Martin Luther King Day by 14 points. But as I recall, it was not that close, not as close as the final score dictated, despite the fact that the Pistons played well against the Wizards, winning both of the home games. 17-18, going back 2 years, lost by 4 and lost by 18. 16-17, lost by 14 in their one trip to Washington. 15-16 was the one that stands out like a sore thumb, the 43-point loss. I think you guys remember that one. I certainly do. 12-point loss after that, and then they lost both times in 14-15. Twice there by 4 points each time before winning the last trip in 13-14. So 9 straight losses now. Remember that 43-point loss in March? I was living in the Virgin Islands. I believe that was a Monday night. It was one of those seasons that, you know, living down there, I didn't watch too many Pistons games, not going to lie to you. But it was one of those games that was on NBA TV or possibly ESPN on a Monday night. So a rare nationally televised games. I'd go over and watch a league pass at my buddy's place sometimes, but I didn't have it. But I always did have Monday off, and it was one of those games or one of those nights that they were playing on national TV. So I was excited to watch it, and wow, they just got just exploded off the screen right away by John Wall and company, and that was just a complete ass-rocking that they got that night, a 43-point loss to the Washington Wizards in the playoff season. So it was like I was getting ready, getting excited for this team to go play in the playoffs. They were playing well and just get pounded, just extremely pounded by the Wizards. So bad times there. But speaking of Wizards, the second takeaway is Ish Smith. Good to see him. All smiles from the veteran point guard. I think he's on his 22nd NBA team. I kid, but it's probably actually pretty close to 22. Ish has been all over the place. It might be his 12th different NBA team. But good to see him. I mean, I think that the Pistons were kind of ornery all night long. I know I was sitting there. I don't think I showered today, working from home on the Lions. But so I was kind of in a one of those weird moods watching the team that I kind of root for and do the podcast on, the Detroit Pistons, getting whipped on a game that you'd figure they had a really good chance of winning. This is, of course, reading everything and listening to all the podcasts about the Lions and doing the conference call with Matt Patricia and trying to figure out what's wrong with that disaster of a franchise. So Detroit sports has me in had me in a bit of a mood today. So while I was happy to see Ish Smith and happy that he was smiling, I think I was like a lot of the Pistons players and that we weren't smiling a lot with him during this game, as was a big disappointment for this team that thought they could maybe get back to 500, get back to 4-4 with a win in Washington. But nice to see him hitting some baseline jumpers, kind of fading away there and knocking down some jump shots. Always good to see Ish Smith. Wish the best for him. But also, it was encouraged by the fact that the Pistons front office took a kind of a fan favorite, kind of a locker room favorite, and parted ways with him, made that tough decision, and knew that it was time to start thinking about the future with the point guard position and maybe freeing up some minutes for the Bruce Brown types, drafting a second-round Jordan Bone type, bringing Derrick Rose in. Obviously, we know the Pistons still going for the playoffs this season, so important to have a guy who can be a little bit more of a difference maker, a little bit more of a lead guard, scoring type of guard, who can take over games at times on the bench. And we've seen, obviously, Derrick Rose do a really good job at that in the games that he has played for the Pistons. No word if he's going to be available going forward for the rest of the week. I figured that he would be available for this Monday game, but maybe that hamstring injury is a little bit worse than expected, but we'd like to see Derrick Rose back in action as soon as possible. You know, obviously you got Tim Frazier out there, Derrick Rose out there, and Blake Griffin out there as guys who could come back anytime now. As far as we know, obviously you'd want Blake back more than the other two if given the choice, but Derrick Rose showed his worth to this team early on in the season, and hopefully he'll be back, and to, if nothing else, to alleviate Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard and Andre Drummond from a lot of the ball handling and playmaking responsibilities. So obviously it would be good to see that. The third takeaway from this one is kind of a broken record of sorts. The turnovers, the rebounds, and the non-Andre defense. I know that it's three things technically for the third takeaway, but we could talk on and on about this particular group of stats. 19 turnovers tonight for the Pistons. Just another disgraceful effort of not taking care of the basketball. Obviously, the point guard situation has a lot to do with it, but they were turning the ball over a lot before, Derrick Rose in particular, before he went out. So we know that Luke Kennard had a big rebounding or turnover number. We know Andre Drummond and Bruce Brown also did as well. Guys that ideally would not have the ball in their hands as much as they've been forced to over these last couple games. It went really well for pretty much all those guys on Saturday night in Brooklyn. But we're seeing the reality of it, that especially with the Bruce Brown experiment at point guard, Luke Kennard getting the ball in his hands a lot more. A decent playmaker. I would say that where he's at right now as a playmaker, Luke Kennard, compared to where you might figured he'd be during his rookie season, in year three, 2 years later, I would say his playmaking and ball handling and things like that have been a bit of a disappointment. Whereas his shooting has been pretty good, especially from three, and also knocking down the mid-range, you feel pretty good about that. But yeah, just the playmaking hasn't quite made the strides that you would have hoped or maybe even figured that Luke Kennard would have. Andre Drummond had 24 rebounds. Of course, he was dominant in the rebounding part of the game. But when he was off the court, I mean, there's just nobody rebounding on this team. Bruce Brown actually had 7 rebounds, 5 on the offensive end, but you know, guys that you would expect to be grabbing some rebounds aren't doing it. When Andre Drummond is not on the court, this team is just horrendous defensively, especially inside. We do have to have the Thon Maker conversation. It's just not good right now. I know a lot of you guys are way past me on this already and I just want to see him given a bus ticket out of town. We all knew this summer that this team lacked a backup center, and it's sad that they've been allowed to proceed without getting the necessary thing that they needed at backup center. I mean, Zaza Pachulia could do a lot of good for this team. We joke, and he's probably not in great shape. Zaza seems like the kind of guy who's going to really be enjoying retirement when the playing days are completely over. I think he's in the front office for the Warriors, if I remember correctly. But Zaza's looking pretty good right now, man. Some of that defense, some of that lack of just a body, a force inside. I mean, I don't think Markieff Morris is there right now to his credit. He looks like he's in decent shape, but I don't know that the strength is there right now. Christian Wood, I can certainly say the strength is not there with him. The defensive lapses that he has as well. He's not someone that I think is going to be protecting the rim for any kind of long stretches this season with Andre Drummond on the bench. I just question with what the plan was with the bigs. Obviously, Blake Griffin coming back helps things, but it doesn't give you a backup center either. So it seemed pretty simple. You're going to lose Zaza. You're going to lose your backup center. Maybe you should bring in a different backup center. And the idea that Thon Maker would maybe be that guy. I mean, Thon, this guy just can't be out there right now. And is Wood going to be able to play those minutes? Like I said, I don't think for an extended period of time. And it's almost given that the defensive problems that they have, I think Thon's better than Wood right now underneath the basket. But it's almost like Thon Maker has to play given this roster shortage of the backup center. And on the other hand, he just cannot play with just how he is. I mean, he played for 8 minutes tonight, was a minus 13, did not grab a rebound, had one block shot, three fouls, and a turnover. And again, just the thought that Christian Wood could have been dropped by this team in favor of Joe Johnson. Where would this team be without Christian Wood? I mean, they don't have enough bodies inside right now as it is, let alone the fact that you brought in a guy who's a backup power forward option and possibly even a backup center option in some worlds as well. It's just the same kind of problems over and over again. And again, we can't get too down about this team right now. We got to see what the full picture looks like with Blake Griffin certainly back and hopefully at least one of these point guards back sooner rather than later so we can get everyone into the roles that you kind of envisioned, have the offense be the scheme that you kind of envisioned, have the defense kind of come together. I heard the guys in the Detroit Bad Boys podcast talk about Blake Griffin's communication on defense and how that might be a big thing for the Pistons coming back. Sure, we can hope that. I don't know that Blake Griffin's a guy that's going to up your defense when he gets back into games, but I do believe that maybe the best defensive contribution he can make are the things that he can do offensively so that other guys can kind of, for lack of a better term, rest up on offense a little more so that they can maybe give a little bit better effort. The Christian Woods of the world, he feels like he's got to go out there and get a bucket when he's out there. We've seen Langston Galloway at times play decent defense when he's kind of an afterthought offensively. He's a guy who's miscast as someone right now trying to make some plays, trying to drive the ball when he has the ball. I think Langston Galloway's role, and no offense to him, but is if he's going to be out there, he's got to stand in the corner and shoot and then just give a crap on defense. Like I said, like we've seen him do sometimes, but he's got to have that energy and got to have that specific role in mind for him going forward. But speaking of roles, and I don't know why that's maybe a poor segue there, but give us a follow on the Locked On NBA Net Twitter account. It's a collection of all the hosts on one Twitter feed. Really cool during the day. Catch up with all the news during a full slate of games. And give us a follow on the Instagram account as well. Locked On NBA Net is also the handle for that. Highlighting the biggest stories of the NBA. Maybe one of these days the Pistons will be the biggest story of the NBA. It's been a while, hasn't it? I guess since the Blake Griffin trade a couple years back. But coming up, we're going to go to the Twitter box and check out your replies on what you thought of Bruce Brown and his performance on Monday night. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, I want to talk about Bruce Brown a little bit, and the reason is because I watched this game, and I'm going to be honest, you guys know where I stand with Bruce Brown. It's I'm a little bit on the Bruce Stan side here, so just kind of full disclosure about that. It was kind of one of my ideas to put him at point guard and not just in this emergency situation that they have going here, but kind of ease him into the situation and have him possibly be thought of as part of the puzzle of point guard of the future. Maybe that is even as the starting point guard with Derrick Rose backing him up next season, or maybe bringing in another young point guard to the mix as well. But at least kind of seeing what you've got with that, seeing if that might be a possibility for this franchise going forward, because I do think that it's something that's been lacking with this franchise is the foresight of what it's going to look like on this roster in a year, in 2 years. And I like the fact that Sekou Doumbouya is going to Grand Rapids. I know Rod Beard had the tweet about that when it was announced by the Pistons, but there was a lot of casuals in his mentions talking about, you know, that's a waste of a pick. How could he be going to Grand Rapids? And I think if you've been paying attention to this team, I think the people that responded in that way just aren't really paying attention to the Pistons, aren't really paying attention to the NBA right now, and aren't really paying attention to the fact that he's an 18-year-old player that's going over to Grand Rapids to go season his game in the G League, which has my full endorsement. I think he should be going over there and playing plenty this year and getting some nice practice time in with the Pistons and seeing the court at some point in NBA games, but certainly not into any kind of rotation for this team probably at all this year, and certainly not until later in the season. But one of the things I did want to kind of reach out to you guys on is just from watching this game, I thought that Bruce Brown was a bright spot for this team. I'm not going to sit here and say he played a great game or that he was outstanding or that what's wrong with you guys for not appreciating him, but I did see one of the members of Pistons Twitter slandering him big time, saying he's playing terrible and all that. And I kind of had an epiphany, and I was like, am I seeing something that everyone else is not seeing, or am I seeing something that's not there? What's wrong with me? Am I just totally wrong about this? Cause I hadn't, you know, broken down the stats or really, you know, I was watching the game closely, but it was just kind of a striking thing. I felt like I was taking crazy pills and maybe I was completely wrong. So threw the question out there on Twitter with the idea that wanted to kind of crowdsource a little bit. So I had a couple of responses. We got to Saluki saying, well, I told him to pare down the opinions to three words or less. Saluki says, well, he's healthy. And yeah, you know, of course he's playing out of necessity. So it seems like an acknowledgement from the Twitter box that playing fine, I guess, for someone who kind of came in. Nick Nice says a fourth point guard. I don't know. I think that doesn't give him a lot of credit. I think he's more effective than a healthy Tim Frazier would have been out there, for instance. So in my mind, he's kind of the third point guard on the depth chart at this point. Jeremy Kay says, Wiz were ready, which I think is an interesting point because he's probably referencing the fact that you can stay off of him quite a bit because of his three-point shooting. And look, we know he went 1-for-3 from three-point land on Monday night. One of the misses was really ugly, an air ball from the corner, which we're used to seeing from Bruce at times. His three-pointers are a little bit up from last year right now, obviously a tiny sample size, 25.8% last year, up to 28.6, still not going to get it done, 4-for-14 from three. Bruce, by the way, 14.7 rebounds, 5 on the offensive end, 7 assists. He tied his career high again from last Saturday. A couple of those assists came from three-pointers, which is a little bit more valuable. One of them was in transition to Luke Kennard, which I thought was nice. He drove baseline and found Christian Wood for a three-pointer across the court, which is something I don't remember a lot of the point guards on this roster doing very often. Defensively, he forced Beal to miss a dunk by going up and contesting a dunk that I don't think a lot of NBA players would have done. And then he forced an offensive foul on him by hustling back when Bradley Beal nearly had a clear path after a steal. All of that in the third quarter when the team was really struggling and needed a spark. I just don't quite get it with some of the Pistons fans out there. What are you looking for? I know that the shot confounds people. The turnovers earlier this season is a little frustrating. But as far as a young player who's a second rounder, who has skills that we've seen demonstrated in small doses during Summer League, I know some of you guys laugh at Summer League, but is kind of a Detroit character type of guy, a guy who's given a crap on defense, a guy who seems like a good dude from all accounts, and someone with projectable skills with a jumper that the form looks a little bit better this year. Obviously, the results we'll see, and I don't have visions of him ever becoming an outstanding three-point shooter or anything like that, but man. Brendan on Twitter says, better than Thon. That seems like a little bit of a backhanded compliment. Pistons Wave, Anthony out there says, he did okay. Seems like he got more aggressive late in the fourth. Yeah, and like you said, you know, it's a little bit of garbage time in there that he's padding the stats a little bit, but still playing hard to the very end. I don't say padding the stats in a derisive way, just more of a playing hard to the end of the game type of way. And I got Bravo on here just now as I taped this early on Tuesday morning. It says needs to shoot. And yeah, I agree. I mean, even though the shots aren't falling, he can never be completely shying away from putting up those threes because they do fall sometimes. He had three go down the other night in one of the games. So it is there. He needs to continue to put him up. Obviously, the confidence gets shot after the air ball in the corner, late possession where they pretty much slunk off of him, and he had to drive even though he wasn't able to or willing to put up like a 15-foot jumper that NBA guards should be able to make. I know that the mid-range game is something that's frowned upon, rightfully so, but you still got to be able to knock down a wide-open 15-footer if presented to you by the defense. So that'll do it for the show today. Appreciate you guys that played along on the Twitter question. We'll do that from time to time when I'm trying to get out of writing more scripts and get out of coming up with more profound thoughts myself. So thanks to you guys for hopping in and contributing. And that'll do it for our show. We'll talk a little bit of New York Knicks tomorrow. Got Andy from Ann Arbor queued up talking about his experience at a recent Detroit Pistons game. And if there's anything else you guys want to hear, get in touch with me and give me a follow on social media, all that good stuff. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of Locked On Pistons Podcast, saying thanks for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow.